And have you gentlemen had the opportunity to review the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move we accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the minutes as presented from our last meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Get your calendars out. It's a new year.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Could we start with the holidays?
Let's do it. Why don't you tell us what the holidays are?
I have a handout for you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We have a calendar.
Thank you.
And you have a calendar. And I hope you brought your date books with you.
Yeah. All right.
So, the holidays that the county has traditionally observed are the ones that are designated by statute by the state. So, as we go through those, the first holiday is January 15th, which is Martin Luther King Jr. birthday, but is also designated as Wyoming Equality Day.
Mm-hmm.
February 19th, which is Monday.
Before you move on there, you have sometimes have issues with a commissioner meeting following a holiday. Is that going to be an issue for you on the 15th and 16th? Do you need to move the 16th meeting?
You know, it's Monday on a Tuesday. That's about it for me.
Okay. So if you're okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
In February on the 19th, President's Day. On May 28th, on Monday, is Memorial Day. July 4th falls on Wednesday this year. September 3rd, a Monday, is Labor Day. November 12th, Monday, is Veterans Day. Thanksgiving vacation is Thursday and Friday, November 22nd and 23rd. And Christmas Day falls on Tuesday.
Okay.
And then next year's January, or New Year's Day, falls on Tuesday the 1st.
Okay.
So the questions that are there, you can see, is Christmas Eve will fall on Monday the 24th.
Yeah.
We should have the whole day off.
Should we compromise?
What are we normally doing? That close at noon?
Noon, I thought.
We've closed at noon. We've closed at 3.
We've done. We've been where Mary's the only one in there.
Yeah.
You would like the whole day off.
Well, it's kind of silly to bring everybody in for half a day.
You know, but people will be doing business that day, even though it is Christmas Eve.
It'll be your last one.
It'll be my last one.
It will be.
Today's my last one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Today's your last day of this.
Do whatever you want.
I think we need to be open for part of the day anyway.
But on Christmas Day?
On Christmas Eve Day.
Which would be the 24th.
Monday the 24th. Open to suggestions.
I guess call me a big softy. I don't know what bringing in everybody for half a day. No one's going to do business on Christmas Eve day, are they? Do you generally do much?
It's goofy. I do.
You're an anomaly.
I mean,
he
really.
He will on purpose that day.
Huh?
He will on
purpose. I will that day, yeah. And if it's not open, I'll call Mary.
Yeah.
Have we ever done that and then had a deluge of complaints?
Well, let me tell you the story. There's two stories.
Yeah, from the employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the story has always been is that we've worked on New Year's or on Christmas Eve Day, but we've let our employees leave at noon. And typically on our end of the hall, Roxanna and I usually stay for a while just to make it like, okay, if somebody's showing up at 1 o'clock, that kind of thing. And we post a notice on the door and say, hey, we're at home getting ready for Christmas. If you have an issue, call us at home. We'll be glad to meet you. I've never gotten a phone call. So a few years ago, we had this situation where we had a commissioner that decided we needed to be here till 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve. I was here till 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve doing nothing. So, and so was Roxanne. And my staff left at noon. So.
Okay, make a decision.
I gave my 2 cents.
So what about closing at noon? Does anybody?
If we notice the public that we're going to be closed Monday and Tuesday, I mean, that's how we would proceed. And we would proceed, if you're going to close us at noon, we would notice the public that also.
Right.
As opposed to how we've done it in the past, where we're just like, okay, I think we're done, you know?
It just don't make any difference to me one way or the other.
Yeah. I say noon, Tom says give them the day off. It's up to you guys.
I'm going to go with Tom on this.
Really?
To go out on a limb and just to as a research project.
Okay.
To see, okay, how many calls do we get and make the change next year?
Okay.
Well, and the other thing is that you'll notice we are here all day on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve day. We work all day because it's the last working day of the year. So.
So do I.
Yep.
My thoughts would be.
You got the day off?
What'd you say? Since it's the Monday after a weekend, it interferes with a travel day for families. I would think it would be a good opportunity to maybe give a little bit extra, not as a bonus, but in terms of consideration. So I would be in favor of closing New Year, Christmas Eve.
Well, you got three there, so that's a majority. You don't even have to vote, Joel.
So do we define this as in lieu of a bonus?
In lieu of?
Oh,
no,
you haven't given a bonus in years.
I know.
That's going to be the bonus.
How about a day off in lieu of a raise?
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds like that decision.
Sounds like it's been made.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay.
Let me add to that. So, the previous year may not be the same. I mean, next year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's hard to say.
Typically, that's what happens.
I just
think,
but see everybody get excited.
Should I go ahead and point out that I won't care by
yes,
then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Typically, that's the case is that as you move through that week, because the days will change,
right?
Then it'll be, we'll be open on Christmas Eve for a bit, you know?
But you will be available for consultation.
I'm going to come in, and if it ain't open, I'm going to call Mary.
She won't be here.
That's right. She won't be here either. Okay.
Call Dave.
All right. I'll call Dave, yeah. All right. Very good. So you've got a couple of meeting changes. Let's hit those once we hit those.
Okay, so first of all, would you vote on the holidays? Because we usually take
okay.
Okay.
We need to accept that as presented then and make in your motion that we're closed the Christmas Eve day.
I would move that we accept the holidays as presented with the addition of Christmas Eve off as well.
I'll second that.
It has been moved and seconded that we present the holidays as presented. Yeah, like we're going to vote on what holidays, right?
Yeah.
That we'll be closed on these holidays, including Christmas Eve Day. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right.
I'll call you on Christmas Eve.
You do that. That'll work.
Okay. Then the meeting schedule. You've got a calendar there in front of you, and I'd like to go month by month through those. I've got a couple of, they're on this holiday list as well. I need to ask for changes to accommodate election this coming year. Anyway, so January should be the 2nd, which is today, and the 16th. February should be the 6th and the 20th.
The 20th, did you say?
Mm-hmm. March should be the 6th and the 20th.
Now, Joel, are we going to be gone on?
Back and I'll be gone on the 5th. We leave the 2nd and get back the 8th.
Leave the 2nd, get back the 8th, okay.
So the 6th.
So what do you want to do with that 6th meeting? Do you want to move that to a Friday? To the 9th?
Or the following
or
Tuesday.
Or the following Tuesday.
Then you have 2 weeks in a row.
Then you got 2 weeks.
Then we'll be two weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. Paying bills gets a little tough.
We'll still have a quorum without us.
I guess you can meet it without us.
We could. I mean,
I'd just soon go Friday night.
I would prefer the 9th.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr.
Let's
Chairman,
take,
just because of paying bills.
Let's take that 6th. We're going to move that to 9th.
And then the 13th?
Oh,
9th and the 20th.
The 20th, okay.
First day of spring.
Okay.
April will be the 3rd.
Yeah, April will be the 3rd and the 17th. May would be the 1st and the 15th.
Do you know which one of these are going to be South County yet?
Yeah. How about if we'll do that at the end?
Yep.
Okay.
May was the what? 3rd?
First
to the 15th.
June,
we're back to the 5th.
Okay, the 5th and the 19th. And then do you want to block the first week of June for budget?
Yeah, so we'll go 4th through the 8th on budget.
Okay, then July the 3rd and the 17th.
I might not be here that first week of July, but that's budget time. I don't know.
So we should be through our deliberations. The only thing you might miss is, let's see,
what would July
we'll be adopting the budget on the
17th.
On the 17th,
yeah.
I'll be there, but I might be out the first week of July.
Oh, the first week, okay.
What would July make?
I don't think that'll be a problem.
A 3rd.
Usually we're doing just
unless you
year-end.
We've got 5 Tuesdays that month and we can swap everything.
But
no.
Don't you have to adopt the budget?
Yeah, we
got to
adopt the budget the 17th anyway, so. Okay.
Yeah. That can't change.
That one, yeah. The 17th needs to remain the 17th.
Okay, that's no problem.
And otherwise we'll be getting into the same issue with paying bills, so I might just have to be absent for that meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
Then August the 7th and the 21st. September the 4th and the 18th. Oh,
and there are the 21st and primary.
August, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
August 21st.
We got to move that.
Could we move to the 24th, the Friday?
Yeah, let's move that one to the Friday. That
August 24th.
I may have an issue with that day, but Commissioner Bowsman could chair that meeting if we need to on the 24th.
Okay, then back to September the 4th and the 18th.
Okay, once again, you don't have a problem with
No.
The meeting after the.
They all fall on those days.
That's true, they do. Okay.
After we got to talking about it, it's like we always have.
We always do that.
Those holidays are always on Mondays, and we got Tuesday.
Right, and then we have our Tuesday meeting. Yes. Okay.
So buck up.
Yep. Yeah. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, then October 2, the 2nd, and the 16th.
So Mac would like to...
Can we move the 16th to either the 19th or the 23rd?
And that is one where there are five Tuesdays if we wanted to move them all.
You say the 9th and the 23rd?
The 9th and the
23rd. Could do the 9th and 23rd. Whatever works better for you guys in your office and paying bills. Either moving the 16th to the 19th or shifting both of them one week.
I think I'd rather go the 19th.
Okay.
Only because we're pushing on the general election.
Okay.
So the 2nd and the 19th?
Yeah.
Then November is the 6th and the 20th, and I'd like to propose that we move the 6th to the 9th.
Okay.
Is the 6th election day?
Yeah.
Yeah, 6th is election day.
The 9th and the 19th?
9th and the 20th.
20th.
And then December would be the 4th and the 18th.
You circling that 18th?
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact.
And then the first January meeting. The first Tuesday is on the 1st.
Yeah.
You probably should, you know what that means?
Do you want to, what's that? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're not going to have that right now.
The first.
You can shift to the 2nd and 4th Tuesdays there. There are five Tuesdays, but that's up to you, Mary.
So let's think about this, because the new. Elected officials.
There'll be new elected officials.
Yeah, you're going to have new elected officials. Mm-hmm. And our terms aren't out until the 7th.
Oh.
What?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So they should.
So we're going to have it before the 7th.
So let's have. Let's move them to the 8th and the 22nd.
Seriously, their first meeting should be the 8th.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Do we get a vote on that?
Sure.
So it's the 8th?
Yeah.
January 8th.
Okay.
Because they'll be sworn in on the 7th.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way that needs
that's
to be.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, because the new elected officials will be sworn in on the 7th, you say?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Perfect.
Then, the Marbleton and Big Piney meetings, we typically go in March. The second March meeting, so that would be March 20th.
And which one is that, Big Piney or Marbleton?
Marbleton. And then.
March, which one?
March 20th.
Oh, yeah.
And then June the 6th, so that's during the June budget week. That would be on Wednesday. So we would have our normal commissioners meeting on Tuesday the 5th here, but then on Wednesday go to Marbleton.
And for the budget hearing.
For budget hearing, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's just the 6th.
Yeah. And that's Marbleton. And then the 2nd September meeting, which would be the 18th, in Big Piney. And the second November meeting, which would be the 20th.
Tarleton.
Big Piney. We do two Big Pineys two Marvel times. Unless you want to do something else.
You said September Big Piney.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So November Big Piney.
And November Big Piney.
But then I thought you said...
We've got the budget week in Marvelton and March in Marvelton.
Oh, March is Marvelton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're set. And if there's any problems anytime, bring it up.
Yeah, we can always change.
We can always change. All right, Butch, let's go to work.
Plowing's been kind of light, but still doing so much more. Screening still at Richardson Pit. Got the crusher working now. It's doing good. I was going to talk a little bit about the Bar Crossroad, but I think I'll wait till Real Wordy's here on the design and speed limit, so it won't be changed.
Sorry, can you speak up?
Yeah, turn on that microphone.
Thank you.
And Billy's got some bids.
I got the excuse me, the belly downs, and on the roller, I it's kind of my mistake, but I got the pricing, and I didn't really go through the specs real close. So before I ordered, I went back through the specs, and both of them didn't meet our spec. So I had them redo it. So we're gonna redo.
So why the John Deere was $60,000 cheaper?
That's why. And I should have, but they normally never mess up on a roller because there's not that much to mess up on. But it was I was just hurrying, and I made sure everything else was really good. But then before I ever order, I go back through and everything, and so I had to have them redo both. The John Deere had. In both of them, they've changed models, and they've changed since they've gone to Tier 4, and they've changed some stuff. So it was legit. They weren't trying to slide things through. They messed up, too. So here was the old prices that we agreed on. I got the new ones. I'm just showing you that's what we approved. And then on this is the price of the calendars. And then I'll show you the price of the cat so you guys can. Specs, and I apologize for that. Let me see it. So, after doing everything, they're real close as you can see, but the cash came in. Oh. You know, 2,000 cheaper at 124,446.57. The only reason was that they get more
for more on the trade.
So, which ended up being a little bit more money, about $17,000 more than the first price. But
so you're all right with the cat?
Yeah, there. I mean, both of them were really good. I mean, I have no, you know, I mean, I have no problems with either. They both now meet our spec.
Are they both on the 7-year warranty plan?
Yeah, they all got that 7-year. So the, yeah, both of the bones are.
So we voted and accepted all the equipment at our last meeting, but we'll have to re-vote on the roller.
Right. Everything else was legit.
Mr. Chairman, I move we accept a bid from for a cat roller in the amount of $124,446.57, which is $2,000 cheaper than a John Deere.
I'll second that.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded that we approve the new bid, which nullifies the old bid. The new bid being for a cat roller in the amount of $124,446.57. Any further discussion on this?
Just as a point of clarity, Mr. Chairman, for those out there in the public, I think we need to make it worded so that they are aware that we are withdrawing one bid because of the discrepancy, and this is replacing that, just so it doesn't come across as we're ordering another roller.
Ordering another roller, yeah. As I mentioned in my statement there, nullifies the previous bid, and this is just one roller.
Correct.
Perfect. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
I apologize for that. I just missed it. Then on the belly dump, we actually some pushing them very cheap over in my first. Pricing on low kings, and their total for bulk trailers was $133,628. Tri-State truck and equipment. They gave us two pricing on their Ranco trailer, which came in $106,756. And Titan Machinery gave us pricing on two trailers, which is a Trail King, for $95,808.
Is there any difference in quality of these rigs?
I was really hoping for the Trail King or the Low King, so I'm very happy with Trail King.
With the Trail King.
Do they have the same capacity?
Yes, they're all rated at 21 cubic yards. They all have the thicker steel on the bellies and everything. I mean, they all meet our spec. Trail King's a really good trailer. Low King's a really good trailer.
Okay.
I'm not saying nothing bad about the Ranco. They're just a little cheaper. I mean, they meet our spec, but they are kind of a cheaper trailer.
I guess my first question is trade-ins?
They only wanted to give us $1,000 because it will meet DOT. And them trailers we have, I think we ought to just put them in the auction because, I mean, we can sell them as is. And then, you know, they got $2,700 worth of tire and rims on them, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They got broken frames, but, I mean, almost probably every trailer you see, they don't be inspected, you know, are got problems, so I would put them in the auction and put them for at least $5,000 minimum bid. There's that much of parts on them, and you know, the dealers in one, I mean, they give us $1,000. They all said the same thing, because for them to resell them, they got to be DOT approved. So they would have to take them and basically rebuild them. And they said the most they would give us is $1,000. I just think they're worth more now. I mean, we can let them go for that, but the trailers were worth, I mean, $5,000 each, just even for parts.
You bet.
So,
go ahead.
So, Billy, this pricing is how much less per belly dumpster than what we were told previously?
My first bid was like, I mean, when I just sent out trying, you know, they, for two trailers was coming in about, they told me it'd be around $135,000.
Right.
For two trailers. So that's a really good price.
Yeah.
$40,000
less.
Yeah.
Okay.
What, explain to me the auction, that's the first time that's come up.
We're going to sell some culverts and stuff.
Okay, so we do that every year with stuff.
Yeah, we do have a bunch of vehicles.
Carry a
hard
sell.
All right.
Do you think you'll get that done this season?
To trade these in for $1,000
this spring.
I mean,
you're going to do it?
Okay. So I don't know, Mary, when we're going to do the vehicles.
Yeah, I had hoped we'd have them done by now, but we haven't.
Yeah.
So we can do the vehicles, then we do another one to do culverts and guards and stuff like that, depending on how you guys want to go.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I move we approve the low bid for Titan Machinery for two belly dump trailers for a total cost of $95,808.
Second.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the bid from Titan Machinery for two belly dump trailers in the amount total of $95,808. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Do you need that?
Yeah.
I might bring this up too. Scott Sherbel called about using access off Ema Lane if I had a problem with it. I told him I didn't, except maybe you ought to get a wider easement through there and get that turning lane put in. I've been trying to get put in since they took it out. So,
right.
And we'd move the ditch and berm that Harbor's put in, so they'd have to give us make that 100-foot easement up through there to the school turnout, and we can widen that thing out someday.
Okay.
But we ought to get that in with the deal if we do make a deal.
Okay.
What deal? What access for what?
Yeah.
If they have to build a hospital.
Lane there to go to Eamon Lane.
So he was asking about that. And I said, well, I don't have a problem working with you at all.
How did that disappear? How did that turning lane go away?
They put in
a bike path.
Oh, I can see the importance.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
They moved it from a turning lane to a center lane or something. That was what it was.
Okay. No more.
So.
But it was on the books to be put in. That when they did Harvard subdivision and put it back, and they never did.
Never did.
No. And I think we paid the money for that. I'm not positive about that. Everybody was supposed to get $50,000, and that was
included. Well, we all shared in whatever the cost was, but we didn't get what we paid for.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're putting the easement back because it just needs to be in place?
It's only 80 feet there now, and we might as well get it wider because it's going to increase traffic.
Yeah.
It's already plenty out there. So we need to get that extra easement.
Is Mr. Sherbel aware of your requests?
Yeah.
Okay.
He called, and I wasn't going to bring it up, but I thought maybe I better just so you guys knew what was going on.
Perfect.
Where would this be on the priority list, or would it become a priority once they figure out if that was a go?
Yeah, it would be part of the deal.
Yeah, okay. It would be part of
sure.
It.
Okay.
And Scott didn't seem to have a problem with that. He said he'd talk to Harbors and make sure. We may end up, we usually do a fence or something like that for extra easement. So maybe we move that berm back so we can get the extra easement and put the ditch back on their side of the property instead of ours. So I would use the fields. What, half mile up through there or something?
Yeah. So do we need to talk to Whitehall about that turning lane?
I've already had about 100 times. I told Scott that too. And Dan said he's trying to work on it, but I hadn't. Not much success before Dan. So now I think he's trying to figure that out.
Is he trying to work?
Yeah, there's a bunch of utilities on that corner and stuff there too. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a mess.
Right on the corner, aren't they?
But you can go back on the GIS and you can see the turning lane that was there and had been there for years.
Right.
But it's not there now. So you turn off and go across the rumble strips and turn. You're really not supposed to. You're supposed to stay on the highway.
So would they try and work it into some project they have coming up this next year?
They were supposed to the last time, and they didn't do it.
They just didn't get it done.
Yeah, so, but Dan's aware of it this time. And Scott's on it with this thing going. I'm sure it's going to probably get something done there. With all school buses and everything else out there, that was our busiest road until you got Meadowlark and Iroquois. Once you got that, it changed.
Yeah. Okay, what else, Butch?
That's it.
Skyler?
Nothing today.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys.
Billy, let's do waste management.
All right. We got it going, but I talked to Mary about this a little bit. The one last weak link we had in the baler, it's got a program and it's got these eyes that keep the plungers that push the trash and push it out. It adjusts to what trash goes in there with the knives. It keeps that all plumbed. And that went down. And now we were kind of, because the system, it's an old system, it's 25 years old, but it's been working really well. So the guy at the recycling that comes and works on it, he said, you know, let's just ride with it because they don't even put that system in anymore. Because they've gone to a new a different type of system, which is very more feasible to when you do have problems with it. And it's a recycling system. What happened now is it's got an you can either run it in manual or automatic, and the automatic part quit on it. So we're running in manual, but the only thing bad, and I mean we can keep running it in manual, but the bad thing about running it in manual is we can't see. So if you run something through there and it messes, it bends and breaks and ruins the knives, and that just will be fixed. So to upgrade to the new system and get it back, right now we're running it in manual, but we're being real careful to get this new system in there is going to be right at $20,000. But then it's good. I mean, it'll be just like buying a new one. This was the thing I was trying to wait. I was just going to wait because you might as well wear out this system, and I was hoping it would be 2-3 years down the line, but this was our luck.
Okay.
I wish it wouldn't happen, but I mean, one good thing, we had some spare eyes and stuff, which were like $5,000 each, and we have used all them. So we were going to think about doing something different anyway, because you can't buy them anymore.
that was, we had the last of the, because everybody's updated through this new program and I system. So
with this new program like that, then it is fixable at once again.
Yeah, now everything, where like when one would go down, because they destroy themselves, you know, they, and yeah. So we've been replacing one, like we've done one since I've been doing it, but they normally do two or three a year because they get broke and stuff, and they're like I said, $4,600 each. You know, the new ones are right at like $600. So I mean, it's that's why they've gone to this new system. The main thing is the new program and all that is the pricey part to keep it all aligned. But other than that, then the baler is pretty much brand new. Okay. I mean, it's in really good shape. I mean, it's just, but this is, you got to have this or it can destroy itself.
This is why we put money away for repairs.
Right.
New equipment.
Right. I was hoping, you know, it wouldn't, because it's been doing really good. The nice thing is, I don't see us having hardly any problems because we're not baling stuff that's hard on it now.
Tires.
Tires. And a lot of our oil field stuff, you know, they were running some plungers and stuff through it that's very hard on it. And we don't do that no more. So it's the stuff we're baling is not going to be hard on it. So I see it. And we're compacting way more and we're getting stuff where it needs to be. So I see the baler not having any issues. It took a big hit. I mean, the stuff had been baling. That's why we are running into this.
So do you have money in the budget?
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to Mary. We're good there.
Okay.
So I was just hoping we could get down the road a ways with it. That's our main dilemma. Like I said, it's running, but it's you know, we have to run it by a lever and
human error.
Yeah, and it's, we can't see, so you don't know to stop it unless it starts making some. We're kind of not. We're just baling cardboard and light stuff till we get this stuff done. So that's a big thing at the landfill. Getting our permit for Ravens, we have to go through a little process. We're feeding them dog food now. We got to bait them for a few weeks to get them, and then they'll come. He'll come and he'll do some poisoning, and then he is going to let us. You know, he says you got to kill a few of them and stuff, so he's going to walk us through that, and then he'll approve our permit. So that's all going good. That's about it. Anything else going good? Tires. Since we've gone up on the price, we took in a bunch. I mean, everything we've hauled is back, but we'll just keep moving forward on that. I knew that was going to happen.
Right. Everybody was going to make some last-minute rush.
Yeah. But that's going good, too.
We're being out on the BLM.
Yes. And we've been doing new wing walls on the crusher. We're working on them. We got a bunch of new windscreens to catch some flying trash. So everything's going really good. That was just kind of a bummer, the baler. But it'll be like, I mean, this was the last weak link on it. Everything else is good. So,
okay.
Other than that,
perfect.
We're doing good down there.
Good. Anything for Billy?
Good.
Okay. Thanks, Billy.
All right.
Appreciate it.
The one snowblower, Bill? What's that? That seemed high.
That was high. And I didn't expect that to be. Last year, you know, we were running that thing pretty much 7 days a week. And it took, you know, we haven't done nothing to it and, you know, all the years we've had it. And it, it just, the back of the chute and everything and some gearboxes was just pretty much wore out. So we had, they had to disassemble the whole thing, take the motor out, rebuild the chute, put a bunch of, you know, it just wore out. It just, so that, it was a lot of labor intense.
You're okay with that building as far as?
Yeah, I mean, it, I didn't think it'd be quite
negotiated or anything?
No, I didn't. When we took it down there, it was a, the, it's a wireless system, you know, from the cab, mm-hmm. and they were having an issue with that. And then they found some other things. And I mean, we knew we had a problem with the back was pooching out on it and stuff. So they didn't, you know, once they got into it, you know, Mike Hilton at Wyoming Machinery, you know, he even said he, you know, just was more than they really thought. He didn't think it'd be that expensive to get it fixed. But of course, they, you know, when they have it all tore apart, then
you're kind of committed.
Yeah. But, okay. I mean, last year, that was our bread and butter. I mean, that, you know, it ran hard. We haven't done nothing since like 08 to it. So it should be good to go for quite a while.
Okay. Good. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks,
Billy. Thanks, Billy.
Thanks, Billy.
Appreciate it.
Mary, do you have some business for us?
Sure. Maybe before we start on business, I've been in contact with John McKinley.
Okay, good.
If you want to move that 2 o'clock to maybe 1:15.
Yeah, why don't
and
you?
And move the County Board of move it ahead of the County Board of Equalization.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, if you'll recall, we've had a couple of meetings over the past year with the Senior Joint Powers Board that's in Marbleton concerning the property that is adjacent to the senior housing down there as well as to the Marbleton Senior Center. And you had agreed a while back that you would deed that property to the Joint Powers Board. And I have the deed prepared. I believe it was reviewed. It was sent out to you guys a while ago to review because there were some concerns about what kind of restrictions we could put on the deed. And at the end of that day, really the only restriction that we do have on there is that the property needs to be used for senior housing and related purposes.
Okay. But there's nothing on there that says they have to come up and get it approved by us before
right.
they build.
Right.
That was the one thing that I really wanted on there, but I guess we can't.
Yeah.
We can't put that in the deed.
Right.
So we just have to take that in good faith that they're going to, yeah, do what they agreed to do.
And I don't know if you would, and I don't even know if this is an option, if you'd want to do an agreement with them, aside from the deed.
Yeah, so the downs, or the, it's really not a downside, but if we go ahead and deed that property over to them, then it is, we have no control.
Why can't we write that into the deed? Is there a reason?
Yeah, Matt
did some research on that, and that basically wouldn't hold water in a court of law.
Yeah.
If it, so, my suggestion is we hold on to the land until they're ready to build something on it, and then they come to us and say, this is what we want to build. And then we still have the ability to say, yeah, that's a great use for that land, or maybe not, but
Well, the problem with that, I think, is when you have turnover in the board, you may not have a consensus opinion, so you run the risk of negating that intention.
Sure. Yeah, and I understand that, too. So the risk is this board changes, and they don't get the use of the land.
Yeah.
There is a possibility they don't get the use of the land.
And I think that's the concern right now, is
right.
that, you know, there is going to be change.
Yeah, that's their...
On the other side of the coin is that you want to make sure that they're not taking your property and going out and selling it or whatever, that it truly is used for senior services.
So can you talk to Matt about having some kind of separate agreement?
Yeah, I can do that.
That might serve both entities.
Well, and it's... I think that... the current sitting joint powers board would be happy to enter into some sort of an agreement also. I don't think there's, we don't have any controversy at this point in time, but as things change, their concern is that everybody here forgets that they were going to give the property to them.
Right.
Everybody there forgets what the property was given
to
them.
Was going to be given for.
And it's not, you know, it's not used for the purpose it was originally intended for.
But nobody forgets that we control the budget.
Yeah. But we don't fund them anyway. And we're not a member of that joint powers board. So.
I think I agree with Andy. I'd like to see some side agreement. I mean, some paperwork on the side, especially with the board that we have now, because I'm sure between all of us we can work that out.
Okay. Well, the deed's prepared to go.
Okay.
Can be signed at any point in time. And that was, you know, we wanted to get that accomplished, at least that we have a deed that we agree upon.
Yeah.
And that's, we'll hold up so we can, you know, we can talk about an agreement with them, and I'll contact that joint powers board.
Okay. That sounds good. Matt. Let's do that.
Okay.
The good thing about an agreement is that it clarifies what our position is at this time and what their board's position is at this time. So if you do have a change, it doesn't mean it can't be negated, but at least I have to look at it before they can change it.
Yeah.
And they know what our philosophy was.
And it would put it to where they would have to work with us to do whatever. Even if it didn't hold water, they still would have to come to talk to us.
Yeah.
Or whoever the people are on the board.
And that's all I'm looking for on this, is just for them to come to us and say, this is what we're going to do here, and yeah, it would just, do you agree with that? That's all I'm looking for. And I trust the board that's in place right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that can change.
Yeah.
They might trust us right now, and that might change.
It might change too.
Yep.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if maybe Mr. Bousman wants to talk about this during old business, but it has to do with our FNRPA funds that we were awarded.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to hold on to that for your old business.
Doesn't matter. Let's just get it, talk about it now. We did get approved.
Because my concern, I mean, we just need to know, the board needs to just be aware that we're responsible for a match.
Responsible for a 20% match, but if you take what the governor's office awarded us, at least on the upper green portion, you add the $3,000 committed from the Green River Valley Cattlemen's, we're only short $400 of having enough to meet the budget.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, just to review that, we received. We made an application on the 20th of December for FNRPA funds from the governor's office. And on the Upper Green Area Range Land Project, we have received $13,600. And our commitment, our local commitment to that is $3,400. And as Mr. Bousman has said, we've got $3,000 committed from someone else, so we only need $400. And these funds are available through the entire year of 2018. So they're available now through that time. If you recall, we do, it's a reimbursable. So
okay.
We would use the money and then get reimbursed for the funding. Then on the other FINRPA request that was done on December 20th also was the
TNR, temporary
non-renewable grazing permits. There'll be a quiz at the end of the day on acronyms. And we've got, let's see, we were awarded $8,800, and the local match for that is $2,200. And we also, unencumbered, if you'll recall, we had FINRPA money for that in the beginning, and we had $1,800 that was left from the first go that was not expended. So we unencumbered that funding, and that funding, I believe, essentially is moving forward to the eight that the state has given us. But anyway, our local match for this one's $2,200.
Okay. So would that come out of what? Where could we draw on that?
Consultant.
Consultant.
Would be consulting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We need a motion.
To accept the grant?
Yep.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the grant as presented and accept the match money as presented also, which will be our part. Should total $2,600. In the amount of $2,600. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, may I be excused to go to a conference call?
Commissioner Bousman is going to be on a conference call for about an hour now. Rich, we're ready for you.
Well, hopefully I'm ready for you too. Thanks, Joe.
You only lost one of us, so that's not a bad deal. Well,
who knows? I still have a chance to drive with you if you get off. Let me bear with me for just a second, because it's pretty important that we see this, that I get it up on the screen, and I'm going to need help on it. So give me just a minute, if you would.
You bet.
I'm going to grab Dennis, because I think he knows which one to plug in.
Okay. I think I do too.
Yeah, it's the first HDMI
cord.
You got the remote, or is it in the cabinet there? You turn that on?
Yeah.
Why don't you do that, though?
It looks like it's seeing something.
That's the one that says it's on.
Kind of a standard computer presentation for you guys standing around pushing buttons and going, what's going on?
Scream on there.
Yeah.
Whoa. Good out there. Oh, for heaven's sake. Here, take this.
Oh, sure.
Come on. mirroring your phone.
You never know.
Should be good. I'm in the cable because I just checked it. No, see,
are you?
It's unplugged.
Okay.
So it seems like it's seeing it.
Can you move? Well, if you move over here, let's
sure.
Do with all these.
There you go.
Screen back, Dennis, against the wall. Maybe he'll be able to see it.
There we go. Okay. I'm going to sit with my back to you, unfortunately. But at least I've got it.
No worries.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. My name's Rich Greenwood. I'm the owner of Greenwood Mapping. We've been working with Sublette County for more than a dozen years now. We maintain the GIS, which, you know, is the parcel mapping, addressing, and aerial photography, which is what I'm primarily here to talk about this morning. We also maintain the county clerk's online land record system and the treasurer's online property tax system. So if you've got questions about any of that other stuff, I'd be happy to try to address them, since I don't talk with y'all that often. But the main topic that I think I'm on the agenda for is the aerial photography. I know you've all seen it, but I thought maybe we'd just take a quick walk through it chronologically. And I wanted to talk about where it's come from, because we've compiled it from a variety of sources, and talk a little about the accuracy of it. So the oldest stuff is, okay, now I definitely have to sit with my back to you, sorry. This was old SCS photography that the Sublette Conservation District had scanned and put together. It covers kind of the southwesterly quarter, a little more than a quarter of the county. But it's a really great historical record, as is all of this. Then the Department of Agriculture got into the business in 1994. This is infrared photography, also Department of Agriculture. The infrared is really useful for seeing the moisture, in other words, irrigation or wetlands or that kind of stuff. So the infrared's an invisible light spectrum, invisible to the human eye, but to film, or in this case digital photography, it shows up. So the more red the areas are, the more moisture there is in the soil or in the forest or, you know, whatever. It's really a cool indicator for, like I say, wetlands and irrigation, but it's also pretty useful for seeing revegetation after a fire. This is also Department of Ag stuff in 2006. So the county's paid no money for any of these, and we will have 2017 aerial photography was taken, and it should be available to us pretty soon. The county, the first time that the county funded it was here in 2009, and even at this, you know, high zoom level, zoomed out, you can immediately see that it's, you've got a whole lot more detail. If we zoom in, that's what the county paid for as opposed to this, which was free. So it's kind of, you know, you get what you pay for kind of thing. Then we got some more Department of Ag stuff here in 2012. It's kind of hard to see, but it's actually slightly better resolution. And then the county again started the project in 2013, unfortunately a little late. The idea here was that we were on, you know, some kind of a cycle, like a four-year cycle. We don't have it, you know, a rigorous schedule for it, but again, that's what we want to talk about this morning. We got off to a bit of a late start. We didn't really get a contract signed with the photogrammetrist, in other words, the contractor who flies the plane or delivers the product to us, until late June. We had a lot of fires and we had a lot of bad weather, so they didn't get it done in 2013. So they finished it up in 2014, which is kind of unfortunate. But we did get both the infrared product and the what they call true color, regular color product. And then again, we got some Department of Agriculture stuff here in 2015. So that's kind of the timeline of it. And obviously where we're going with the timeline is into the future. And I strongly encourage you to consider funding it at the county level again for this coming year. We, as I say, we will get Department of Ag photography from 2017, which is one of the reasons that we didn't talk about this last year. In other words, we've got a snapshot of it. It's lower resolution, but at least that's a, you know, kind of a point in time, so that if the structure, if the question is when was this built, when was this structure built, when was this road put in, something like that, we at least have those kind of snapshots in time. And while we're looking at stuff, I want to show you one more thing, kind of, you know, looking into the future. Is this is Converse County, if I can get up there. This is another product that, you know, is really forward-looking. So as you can see, it's the same thing, or looks pretty much the same initially, but we can then get, by clicking on it, so this is your regular computer presentation. So here we've got a true 3D view, and we can look at it from various angles. We can zoom in on it. And in some cases, it even has history. As you can see up here, we're looking at 2014 photography, but we can, I think they've got a few pictures of it from 2014, and I think if I go back some more, we can go back to see it changed to 2009 right there. So you can see the utility of it. Instead of the traditional photography that I've shown you thus far, which is straight down, it's called ortho. This includes the ortho, the straight down view, but also has the obliques so that you can see the sides of the building. So the plane that flies over in the traditional ortho has one camera that shoots straight down. With this technology, the technology is called pictometry, and the company that produces it is called Eagle View. They're the only company that provides it in North America. So their plane has five cameras. It has the one that, you know, the traditional one that shoots straight down, and then two on the sides and two front and back, which is how they're able to get that. It's, you know, a picture says a thousand words. I don't think I need to say much more about, you know, what's going on there with it. Obviously, it's way more expensive. It's, you know, in really, really general terms,
and Mary will correct me if I'm too far mistaken, but I think our initial 2009, we spent something on the order of $150,000, and I believe our 2013-14 was about $85,000. This would, if we did exactly the same thing countywide, could be in the range of $400,000. Hey, you know, I mean, you're getting five times as much imagery for four times the price.
For five times the price.
No, only four times.
I think this is one of those where he asked for the moon and he knows he's going to get something.
He's been here before. So what's the ortho going to run us this round?
I'd imagine the same, 85-ish.
Around 85?
Yeah.
Okay.
The pictometry, I'm obviously, throwing out the extreme end. I'm not a salesman here. I'm just here to kind of give you I'm trying to give you really good advice on thinking about the future. You could definitely rein in that cost a whole lot by not doing the entire county. In other words, the greatest value is going to be where it's developed, you know, where there's man-made structures. The public lands aren't going to change as often, nor do you necessarily need that level of detail. So, and I'm going to ask Janice to talk about some of the value because it's of greatest value to her office. Shad's here. I've asked him to come, and Casey's. I've asked him to come, too. Thank you for backing me up on this. And hopefully they will, you know, talk a little about the value or you know, lack of value, depending on, you know, give us an honest opinion. But if you are interested in the pictometry, my suggestion would be that you not do the entire county. In other words, going up into the Titcomb Basin be kind of fun to look at.
To see obliques of the rock formations?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's members of the climbing community that would love to see that stuff, but it's not cost effective. And so, you know, depending on the area of coverage, in other words, the Jonah Field would be a big one too, would be like, is it cost effective or valuable or whatever to catch that with obliques or not? You could certainly get the price down considerably. I mean, it's never going to be quite as cheap, but it's like anything. You know, you got to weigh the different options, and that's why you guys get the big buck up there. And I'm just here to tell you what the options are. Does that make sense?
Appreciate that. Do you want to go with your testimonials first before we do our deal?
Sure.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
I'd like Janice to speak first because it's, you know, she would derive, or her office, I should say, and would derive a great deal of benefit from it.
So, yeah, it would be very valuable to my office. Obviously, in our office, we rely on accurate data, and we have statutory requirements to revalue property on an annual basis and visit properties every 6 years. Historically, well, I say visit properties, re-measure and value properties each year, or every 6 years. Historically, those have been on-site inspections, but with this, the International Association of Assessment Officers has changed their standards and does allow this type of photography to be utilized as a site inspection. So we could, from our desks, measure and list the property without physically going to the property. So as an example of the benefits, I picked 2 years and looked at the parcel count. The 2 years I picked were 2006, where we had a parcel count of 8,911, and now we're at 10,180. And the reason I chose those years is because in 06, we had 8 full-time staff members. And at that time, Jeanette felt it necessary to get a part-time summer staff member. And we had that person for 2 years. So we were at 8.25 staff members when the parcel count was 12.5% lower than it is now. So again, 12.5% fewer parcels, and our staff time has now decreased by 27%. So we're doing the same amount of work, or we're doing 12.5% more work with a quarter of the hours. We are able to get it done right now. We've had, a couple years ago, we were really struggling to get it done. We changed some procedures, but it is, the water's rising fast. We're barely able to get it done. So if we were able to work more efficiently by not spending time traveling, you know, it would certainly help that. And those are statutory duties. Obviously, the equity is important. This would give us the ability to measure area, distance, height, elevation, pitch, and bearing, and potentially others. So while we're facing the rising water, is it more practical to hire a staff member and pay salary and benefits and time on the road and maintenance on vehicles and all those things, or is it more practical to spend our money on a product that, you know, is the future of GIS and is an allowed method in our industry right now to be able to capture the appropriate and equitable revenue that we're required to do.
Okay. Question for you, Janice. The difference between the ortho and the pictometry, how much more benefit would you say you're going to get with the pictometry?
So the pictometry will be the most beneficial, obviously, on the improved parcels, because we're able to, with the ortho, we're able to see if the property has a building or not. There will be benefits in terms of to quantify how much more benefit is obviously tough without having some history with it.
Yeah, $315,000 worth?
Well, I don't think necessarily that we would do the entire county, though. The $315,000 is the entire
county. For the entire county, okay.
So in my opinion, you would then scale that down to the more populated area.
In your opinion, would we recoup the money we'd spend on it?
In the course of time, I think we would.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
So with the pictometry, you can snap the lines on the buildings to get your measurements from there.
Correct.
The ortho, you have to go measure them physically.
Correct.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. How accurate is the ortho? I mean, foot, 2 feet?
They have two different resolutions. Yeah, certainly within a foot for the higher resolution stuff. And the bottom line is it's IAAO certified, which is what it meets the spec that the assessor's office is required to meet.
Okay. You need some more testimonial?
I don't know. If you want to speak up, great. And I neglected to mention I'd ask Dennis to be here also because it might be of value to him.
Oh, yeah.
Or in your terminology, he
it
might
is.
Want to
every
present
time
a testimonial.
Dennis meets with us, we go through your mapping system.
I'll speak briefly. In the fire department, we use the ortho photos fairly frequently when we're planning for fuel reduction projects or looking at wildland urban interface hazardous areas in the county. So we use the ortho product pretty extensively, and it's been valuable for us. I see a minor benefit for using the oblique view. If we wanted to create a pre-incident plan for how would we respond to a fire in downtown Pinedale, we could look at this and say, okay, here's the size and shape of the facility. Here's where they store their you know, above ground fuel tanks or whatever it is, and I could see some value there, but I could just easily send somebody out and do a field assessment as well. So from the fire department's perspective, the ortho is very, very valuable. Less so the oblique view, but that's just you know, because of the limited nature of the pre-incident plans that we do. So okay. As a planning tool, it'd be valuable. The ortho would be valuable to the fire department.
Thank you. Dennis?
The ortho view having that gives you more of a 3D type dimension, you know, those dimensions. Laying out subdivisions and stuff like that, you could do from in the office. You could see how the ground would actually lay. Building permits, things like that, where they're doing additions onto buildings from year to year, that could also possibly be, you know, be useful that way. For myself, you know, it helps with the mapping, helps be able to visualize stuff, but you know, that is, gives you a full 360 of whatever parcel you're looking at.
Okay. Sheriff, any input here?
No, pretty much the same lines as Shad had. We utilize this every hour of every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every 911 call that comes into dispatch gets plot on this map. Our MDTs, mobile devices in the vehicles, are integrated with Spillman, so the officer can literally pull up the ortho view and know exactly where they're going, which road to take, everything else. The pictometry, you know, again, I think benefits are minimal, but there are some. Of course, what Shad said, the layout would be a lot easier for writing warrants. We could tell if we're dealing with a one-story, two-story structure, layout of the land, outbuildings, that kind of thing. You know, cost-wise, I think we would prefer the, you know, an updated ortho of the entire county. And if they wanted to do the town or whatever in Picto, yeah, it would benefit us, but I don't know if the cost outweighs the benefit.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, do you have any input?
Yeah, we had discussions about this 3 years ago and the detail that we need. From the town standpoint, the more detail we have, the nicer it is. However, it's not at all critical to us, because when the detail we get into, it's like within inches sometimes of where's this located at. It always requires an interface with the customer.
Okay.
So we see very, I mean, don't get me wrong, it would be nice to have, everything is great, handy, but in terms of the cost effectiveness, I don't see it.
Thank you. Mary.
I'm probably the least user of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The ortho stuff is, you know, we use that because we're accustomed to it.
Yeah.
I'm concerned a little bit about the historical. The work that we've done and the schedule that we've set up, we're also, you know, preserving some history.
Sure.
The only thing that I would suggest, at least at this point, is that we don't know for sure what pictometry is really going to cost us.
Right.
I think we throw out an RFP and see what it's going to cost, and then we pare it down and see what if it's really something that we would want to budget for and be affordable. I think we need to do the ortho this year for sure.
That was going to be my suggestion.
But the pictometry, I think we throw that out there and see what it is.
Yeah.
And if we can pick up the populated areas and we can afford to do that, there is cost benefit. We've got over 10,000 parcels out there that if we have to staff up to be able to do that,
yeah,
makes more sense that we do that. I mean, you know, we just need to weigh the cost benefit, and I think we aren't going to know that unless we throw a proposal out there to,
yeah,
get some bids on and find out what that is.
Yep.
And that's what I would say that we do at this point in time. Sure.
Way to steal my thunder.
Well, and no, we just walked right into that trap.
Yeah, right.
That's also why I really wanted to talk to you sooner, yeah, rather than later. So
I think we're all in agreement that an upgraded ortho is essential, and we need that. We've continued that, you know, since I've been here anyway. So
yeah.
I think we definitely need a new ortho, but I think we need some numbers on, yep, the municipalities or the populated areas.
Yep.
I think you're probably going to need to go outside the municipalities.
Margerville.
Yeah, just even out to Margerville. Populated areas. If you can get us some numbers on what that would,
yep,
cost for the populated areas of the county, and have us two different numbers, one,
yes,
with just the ortho, one with the pictometry included. Go ahead.
Mary. So, just a question for Rich. Is there one vendor? Is there going to be a couple vendors?
Well, that's,
as far as pictometry,
again, that's the next question is, for pictometry, there's only one vendor. It's a patented thing. So that's sort of easy. For the ortho, the two that we've done so far, we've used a company called Aerographics out of Salt Lake. And I've worked with them in several other counties over more than 15 years, and they've been great. But some counties require, a competitive bid process, and there are a whole bunch of folks that do regular ortho, some regionally. There's none in Wyoming, but there's regional ones, there's big international ones. So the question for you guys is, do we want to just ask for a proposal from Aerographics, or would you like me to also put together an RFP for multiple vendors?
Well, we definitely are pleased with what we've received in the past. I would leave that up to you, Rich. If you feel that there's someone out there that can give us the product that we're used to having at a lesser price, I'd be plumb thrilled.
Aerographics price, I don't want to sound like a salesman, but I have dealt with them since 2001, at least every other year, and I've dealt with a couple other vendors. And Aerographics, with only one exception, has generally been, I won't even say generally, with one exception in eight projects, they were the lowest price. And in that one instance where we went with the lower price in Teton County, the product was visibly inferior.
Gotcha.
So I personally would lean toward just asking for two proposals, one from pictometry, which we would try to rein in to, where it's cost effective, where we get a cost benefit, I should say.
Okay.
And I'd ask for one from Aerographics for countywide. Okay. And then one more question is, when we say countywide, do we really want to go up into the wilderness areas, or do we want to, not necessarily cover the forest? And I think that would be something I'd actually like to hear from KC on, because he said it would be valuable countywide. And then the other area that's kind of in between is, how much coverage do we want on the Jonah Field? In other words, the BLM land. Should I solicit a proposal from Aerographics for what we've done before, just, wall-to-wall county boundary, or should we also try to rein it in?
Yeah, now, didn't we rein it in on this 2013-2014? No, we decided to go wall-to-wall on that one,
yep.
too.
Yep.
Okay. Shad, I want to ask you, does it help in a four-year span to see the change in forest?
I wouldn't notice a difference in a four-year span, though.
Okay. Casey.
Likewise, it's not going to make a difference to us. I mean, they're not putting in a whole lot of new roads. I mean, they're actually closing more roads off than they're adding.
Right.
So not a lot's changing in the wilderness for us.
Okay. All right. I would say, let's see if we can rein that in into the areas that are pertinent to Sublette County as a business.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Jeanette.
Which includes the Jonah Field.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I would say absolutely on the Jonah Field. The drilling areas, I think we would want to cover those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with
I go
all
look
that.
At those periodically.
But it's your decision, I think, that it makes sense. If we got on a four-year program, if we caught the forest lands every 8 years, I think that would be sufficient for the kind of change that occurs. But again, I don't want to, I'm here to hear what you say, not.
So, gentlemen?
Just to clarify, we're going wall to wall with the county on the ortho.
No.
No.
I'll ask for a proposal that excludes the bulk of the
forest.
We'll catch the BLM. And we'll get a good buffer into the forest. But, getting up into the wilderness areas, I don't know. I just don't know if it's worth it.
Okay.
Mary?
Just one other thing, since Mr. Feldman came in and Shad as well, this is there any advantage to having wall-to-wall because of the forest collaborative work that's been done or is going to be done or whatever? Are we going to miss something there?
That's a great question. As we move forward with the forest collaborative project, I expect more and more fuel reduction projects to occur. That I didn't look at it from that perspective, but you're right, Mary. It's from my perspective, looking at the private land ownership, that was my area of focus. But I could definitely see a collaborative effort that would be beneficial to anybody that does fuel reduction projects.
I'll get both. How about that?
Okay.
Just for straight ortho, with forest, without forest, and pictometry.
And pictometry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get us some numbers on all three of those.
Very good.
That'll be perfect. Excellent. You got back just in time.
Talking about updating our GIS maps.
Yeah. So, Rich is going to get us some numbers.
Good.
And then we can take that into consideration and move forward.
Great. I will see you again.
Perfect.
With numbers.
With some numbers. Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, yes, in conjunction with the forest part of this, once we have those numbers, we would be in a position to sit down with some of the leadership of the collaborative and the Forest Service, and I don't know if we can get some money or not, but we might.
We can request.
We can see if we can get some cost share.
Perfect.
Anything else you need me for?
I think that's it, Rich. Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's just take a quick 5-minute break and we'll be ready for you, Sheriff, there. Good work.